Welcome to the Unshakable Foundation meeting of Cocaine Anonymous. This is a main show meeting, and today it's with great pleasure and much gratitude that we welcome Bianca R, who's come to share on the topic of With a Shiver He Turned for up to 40 minutes, after which we'll open up for the Q&A portion of the meeting. Bianca, it's over to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much to the service crew on this meeting. Welcome to any newcomers or anyone who's feeling new. My name is Bianca. I am a gratefully recovered addict of the hopeless variety. I live free today only when I pick up this simple kit of spiritual tools that was laid at my feet. If you're new with us, that's the 12 steps. We have a lots of names for the steps, the design for living, and of course the spiritual toolkit. And that is very real, y'all. I live free only when I pick up this tool. Okay. Fully integrating all 12 steps into every sector of my life. When I say I'm an addict of the hopeless variety, again, it's very poetic, but I'm not pulling it out of my ass, y'all. It's right from the book. We're talking about the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And to be the hopeless variety type addict, this is when, see if you relate, I'll use I statements, of course. When I want to stop, when I know that I need to stop, when I wish I could, and when I try. On my own power, I am utterly hopeless. I place so much dependence upon human aids, human systems, human substances, three-dimensional things, relationships. I was a consumer. It doesn't matter what it is, okay? Drugs, alcohol, other people, mind-altering behavior patterns, thought patterns, food, sex, what's in my bank account, what's not in my bank account, what's in my phone, button clicking, hello? It's 2025. There are a lot of button clickers in the room. But I have tried it all. I have tried it all. I have tried all the human aids, human three-dimensional pathways. And I ended up crawling on the ground begging to be possessed by a power greater than myself. True alcoholic. That's adjective, y'all. Alcoholic torture, alcoholic insanity. In the end, for me, I didn't need to put a mind-altering substance into my body. Okay? My own name sounded strange to me. My body was utterly mangled, mangled. Took a while for the physical consequences of the particulars of my DOC to catch up to me, but I got them. And my mind was mush. And I watched as my spirit was dying. This is what's at the core of this dis-ease for all of us, is this spiritual malady that requires a spiritual experience and a spiritual solution. Apart from that, apart from divine help, I am hopeless 100% and 0% helpful, by the way. No purpose. You know, forget about no power, no path. I felt useless, right? Purposeless. And these 12 steps give us a purpose. We're going to talk about that purpose today. I'm going to ground myself in the text. I like to do that because I'm very tangential. I will be tangential. I'm going to bounce around. And this text will bring me back to center, as it does for many of us. We're going to focus today on pages 153 to 155-ish. I'm going to back it up a little bit to 152. Y'all, we're in the chapter, A Vision for You. You, not a vision for us. Okay. They switched the language here right at the end. We're in the final chapter of the 164. If you're new to, you know, the world of big book study and 12 step, I'm kind of a nerd with the book, and they switch it up where now there's not a lot of, or not as much we, us, it's you. And we can no longer hide behind the we. Hide behind the us. Look at what we're doing for the newcomer, right? It's about you. I've replaced you with my name in this chapter. It is truly a vision for Bianca as an individual, as a member of this greater fellowship. What is my job? On page 152, it tells us, and if you're new with us, you might be wondering this exact same thing. Okay. I guess I'm willing. I've tried everything, right? I'm willing. I'm desperate. I'm mangled. My mind is mush. My spirit is dying. I guess I'm willing, but am I to be consigned to a life where I shall be stupid, boring, and glum like some of the righteous people I see? Oh my God. We still have some brattiness in us. I love it. I'm a brat at heart. Okay. God just had to, you know, pound my ass into the ground in every which way possible for me to find some humility. But it's okay. It's okay. All right. To be there. I know I must get along. I must get along without these things, these three-dimensional things that I've been consuming and using, whose effects are fleeting and futile. I have to get along without them, but how? How can I? Have you a sufficient substitute? They say, yes, there is a substitute, y'all, and it's vastly more than that. It's this fellowship. Here it says of Alcoholics Anonymous, we could say of Cocaine Anonymous, 12-step, you know, big book sponsorship. Your imagination will be fired, y'all. Fantasy addicts at core, are we not? It was really the nanosecond before I picked up that I got the highest. Anybody relate? All downhill from there. So my imagination, my fantasy will be fired. I'm going to find release from care, boredom, and worry. Life will mean something at last. There it is. This ultimate goal of purpose. They say on page 77, you know, and I say, oh, the book says, but it's always true of my experience if I bring it up. That our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God, to spirit, to the mighty purpose and rhythm underlying the totality of things, and many other phrases that we all use. But that our main purpose here is to be of max service to God and the people about us. Back to 152. The most satisfactory years of your existence, not ours, yours. Do we have a glimmer, a spark of willingness to believe that for me? Because I've been in this position, y'all. I could be there in an hour from now. You know, oh, this might work for all of you, but I don't know about me. You know, me personally. So your most satisfactory years lie ahead. Thus we find the fellowship, and so will you. Now they tell you about how to find the fellowship. This is really interesting. I'm hoping to blow the minds of some newcomers today, not by anything I say, but what the book says. How is that to come about, you ask? Where am I to find these people? Where am I to find these people? This fellowship thing that everybody's talking about. This is very interesting. It says you're going to meet these new friends in your own community near you. Alcoholics are dying helplessly like people in a sinking ship. Later on in the paragraph, it says among them, you will find lifelong friends. You will be bound to them with new and wonderful ties, escaping disaster together and commencing shoulder to shoulder our common journey, right? So how about this for my newcomers in early sobriety? It doesn't say you're going to find them amongst the people that laid this spiritual toolkit at your feet. You're going to find them amongst people who want what you have. You're just going to follow them to the ends of the earth. And those are your only new friends? Absolutely not. Here they are encouraging you to build the fellowship that you crave by carrying this message. Among them, the newcomers newer than you, because of what you're going to be charged with here, what your new job is in carrying this message. We're going to get into this story about how our fellowship started, arguably, you know, the moment that our fellowship as we know it, all coming from the big book and the pioneers of Alcoholics Anonymous, how this started by one newcomer, that is our co-founder, Bill W., taking on this charge of not calling the people on the next level. I just need somebody to help me. Please talk me out of having this drink. But calling a newcomer newer than him and getting connected to that via God because he accepted this charge. of carrying the message. Okay, let's get into it. Page 153, at the bottom, we are talking about Bill W. here, sober not that long, about 6 months. Hello, newcomers. Years ago, in 1935, one of our number made a journey to a certain Western city. From a business standpoint, his trip came off badly. Had he been successful, top of 154, in his enterprise, he would have been set on his feet financially, which at the time seemed vitally important. Doesn't this something set on our feet? Here we got the financial, you know, the glow of the financial, you know, reset in early sobriety, right? That's the goal, to be set on my feet financially. Maybe your goal is to be set on your feet physically, or set on your feet mentally, or set on your feet romantically, or whatever. But it's really about being set on our feet spiritually. You're going to see how his motives fucked him up a bit here, okay? So he's really focused on financial recovery in this moment. But guess what? God said no here. Next line says his venture wound up in a lawsuit and bogged down completely. Okay? A disaster financially. The proceeding was shot through with much hard feeling and controversy. It was all twisted up. Thought he was going to get some money. Didn't work out for him. And here it is, really. Bitterly discouraged. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about suffering from alcoholism, which is, you know, this dis-ease that we do suffer from when we're untreated. Discouraged. Untreated, I am suffering from alcoholism, y'all. I am restless. I'm crawling out of my goddamn skin. I am discontent. Totally discontent. I always say that's like a euphemism for being a brat, right? Totally insatiable. Nothing's good enough for me. Ungrateful, right? Discontent. I'm discontent. I am irritable. Crank city. Okay. Enter judgment, enter martyrdom, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. I am bitter. I am bitter and I'm discouraged. I'm full of fear. I'm just bouncing from doctor's opinion description of alcoholism into how it works, page 62, right? I'm utterly self-centered. Okay. And I'm full of fear and self-pity, shame, guilt, self-delusion, self-seeking, master manipulator. And this is where Bill found himself here. Bitterly discouraged, suffering from alcoholism. And he found himself in a strange place, discredited and almost broke. Okay, so all this this fake 3D shit, okay, that gives us that sense of again, 3D security, out the window for this man. Out the window for us at times. He was still physically weak, okay? Did not get the full physical recovery yet. Didn't get full financial recovery yet. Okay, still physically weak and sober but a few months. Just a few months, this guy. He saw that his predicament was dangerous. So he had enough in him, enough awakening within him that he saw, like, ooh, this might be a tricky spot that I'm in. He wanted so much to talk with someone, but whom? We could speculate here. I'll tell you who I would want to talk to in this position. Everybody knows who to call here, who we want to call. Okay. I go two ways with this one because we cannot be in Bill's head, but I'll tell you what would be in my head at this point. Maybe there's a glimmer of I'm shaky, right? Maybe I should call someone, like maybe I should call someone in program. Maybe I have enough of that in me, right? Ooh, I'm in a dangerous spot here. maybe I'll call someone who has, you know, what I want. They could really set me straight. Again, more dependence upon human aid. We're agents of God. We can help each other in so many ways. But they're about to tell us that essentially our step 12 is what's really going to give us immunity in these types of dangerous situations. You know, so maybe he wanted to talk to someone, maybe someone who, you know, walked him through the path, another sober recovered person. Or maybe he wants to say, screw it. You know, I want to talk to someone, you know, someone who, where I'm going to find companionship and understanding amongst the sickos. I think more that's what he's looking for, because we're going to see it in the next paragraph when his ass wants to go into the bar and take a couple drinks. All right. But we want to talk to someone, right? This is that desire. Like, I need someone to be there for me. I'm really having a hard time. Me, 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 me. Right? I really need help. I'm really in a tricky spot. Who can help me? Who can help me? They're going to flip this for us in a second. Stick with me. One dismal afternoon, he paced a hotel lobby, wondering how his bill was to be paid. I don't skip a sentence in this book, y'all. And if this type of big book shit is annoying to you, you're not alone. It was very annoying to me years ago when I was out there. And people kept trying to carry the message to me, and I was in and out of the rooms for like 10 years before I really bottomed out. And I really hated this book, and I hated everybody who went through the book and knew the quotes. And oh my God. So I will tell you this, if I'm annoying you right now, it would be an honor to end up on your fourth step. An honor. I'd love to be number one. Get you closer to God that way. I don't care either way. One dismal afternoon, he paced the hotel lobby wondering, what is this pacing? What is this wondering? Don't skip it. It's not a throwaway line. There's anxiety there. Pacing, wondering, thinking. I'm a big book sponsor that has my sponsees just replace drinking with thinking in this book. Is that not the crux of the problem? For all of us, centering in our mind, pacing, thinking, restless, irritable, discontent, self-pity, self-delusion, fear. He's wondering how his bill is going to be paid. Again, so focused on the financials. Oh my God, Bill W. All right. And here we go. We've got two choices at this point. At one end of the room stood a glass-covered directory of local churches. And down the lobby, a door opened into an attractive bar. Here is the two alternatives. This is an echo of page 25. You know, hey, we could go on to the bitter end. Just blot out the consciousness of your intolerable situation, of this pacing, of this wondering, of this irritability, of this discontentedness, of this restlessness, of this fear, of this urgency, impatience, doubt, agnosticism, whatever it is. I could just say, screw it. I'll go into the bar or the like, right? Whatever that is for you. I could just blot out my consciousness, or I could accept spiritual help. In this story, the acceptance of spiritual help is literally turning down a hallway and going to this glass-covered directory of local churches. If you're young in the rooms, you know, this was like the phone booth. Okay, that had numbers and things in it where you can, you know, pick up the phone and call out. Now let's talk about this bar. So attractive. Get me going, Bill, with this bar. He could see the gay crowd inside. Oh, there they are, everybody. In there, he would find companionship and release. Surely, right? Surely, they get me. They're my friends. They know. Companionship and release, right? Connection. That's what it once was for us. And when we're untreated, disconnected from this solution, from these steps, from a higher power of our own experience, ever evolving understanding, whatever, this looks really attractive. really attractive. It's humans, y'all. It's 3D. It's human AIDS. And now he's got the thought. First, he said he just wanted companionship. Don't we love that? I just want to. I'm not going to pick up. I'm just going to like hang out. Just going to like hang out. Let's see who's there. Right? I'm not going to do anything. I just want companionship and I want just release maybe of this anxiety. I just want to be in the present moment, you know, hang out. But he can't even. Listen to this next one. Right away, he thinks, but unless I took some drinks, I might not have the courage to scrape up an acquaintance. I probably couldn't even talk to anybody without a drink. Okay, so now I make the argument that I need something. I need something to even have this companionship and release, to find this friendship, freedom, you know, power, connection, whatever, you know, the liar tells us. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. But we can't even do it unless we're, you know, fucked up. Oh, and this one, he convinces himself he's going to have a lonely weekend. All right. That loneliness in that disconnect. Next thought. He says, oh, of course I couldn't drink. Oh, no. That's crazy. Of course I couldn't drink. That's the next line. Of course I couldn't drink. But why not sit hopefully at a table? Again, more hanging out. Why not sit hopefully at a table? Maybe just like a bottle of ginger ale before me. Maybe that. You know, maybe I'll just walk in. So shaky. Now we get this thought. After all, had I not been sober for 6 months now? Good job, Bill. I bet you could drink now. That's his next thought, right? Perhaps I could handle, say, 3 drinks, no more. Right? This is the sort of thinking. Okay. This is the sort of thinking, not drinking. Dude did not even pick up a drink yet. This is the sort of thinking. Okay. That classifies us as alcoholic people. Right? This thinking with no real consideration of the consequences that we know will happen. You know, we try to convince ourselves, A, it will be different this time, right? I'm going to play the game better. I'm going to win the game. Somehow I'm going to be a match for alcoholism. The tragic truth is that we're outmatched. You know, when we say get armed with the facts about yourself, step one, like I am outmatched always. I am outmatched always. There is no game. I lose. The only way to, you know, quote, win the game is exit the game. But we think maybe it'll be different this time. Or, you know, the real one, I'm sure you can relate, which is I know it's not going to be different and I don't care. Right? This is the sort of thinking that when it's really taken like a hold, taken a grip, this is what places us beyond human aid. Okay? Where we need a spiritual solution. Because there's no logic for us. There's no logic. There's no, even my own history, that's going to deter me in this state of mind. This is described in there as a solution. I'm just paraphrasing. This sort of thinking, once it really takes hold on us, this is what places us beyond human aid. Okay, let's go back to 154. He says, perhaps I can handle, say, 3 drinks, no more. Fear gripped him. Fear gripped him. He was on thin ice. Again, it was the old insidious insanity. That first drink. I would argue that first think. He did not take the first drink, right? The insane thinking is trying to get him to take the first drink at this point. So it's really the first think that he has no, it's intrusive. He has no defense here. No defense. That thought. Well, I could have 3 drinks. No, I can't drink. No, well, maybe I just want companionship. No, I'm going to, you know, like this is the insanity This is why we need a psychic change. That's what's on offer here if you're new. A psychic change, a spiritual awakening. Okay, that's all about ideas, emotions, total rearrangement internally. Okay, that places us in a position of neutrality. That places us upon, or places our reliance upon our spirit and not upon these human aids and substances. Let's come back. This is really the line, you know, that I chose for the topic today. So important. With a shiver, he turned away and walked down the lobby to the church directory. You know, step three can be very kind of abstract, you know, kind of just like reflective or like, you know, poetic or up there, you know, like turn your will and your life over to the care of a higher power. Right. But how do we do that? You know, because we are 3D beings for the time being, you know, our feet are grounded here on Earth in the 3D. Like, what does this mean? How do we do this? You know, they give us a vigorous course of action laid out in steps 4 through 12. That's how we do it. Okay. But how do we practically apply a third step decision in the 3D? This is one way. I like to remind our newcomers and remind us, each other. This book is reminding me right now, you know, that the turn is not always this just like abstract, like turn it over, let go. It's a physical turn. Turn down the street. Turn your thumb away from the button. Okay? Turn your head. Don't look. This stuff seems like obvious and like juvenile and like, you know, amateur hour kindergarten. It's not. I could say that it is not. You know, in my rigorous honesty and all humility, I can tell you that I need divine help for a physical turn. If I'm shaky like Bill thinking this stuff, I better be possessed by some power to physically turn my body. So let's remember that like this turn can be physical. You know, we get all these directives via a step 11 practice, right? Direction, praying for direction. Bring it into the 3D, my fellows. Turn your ass around. Pray for that possession to turn physically. Let's see, because we would not be here today. I would not be here literally this moment right now talking to you, reading out of this book, sober, alive. I know I wouldn't be here because I'm second generation saved by the big book. I have two not-so-addict parents, okay, who got sober when I was young. So, you know, save my life and two generations of my family so far. We would not be here if Bill did not physically turn in this hotel lobby in 1935. And he didn't do it without fear, y'all. He didn't do it enthusiastically. With a shiver, with a fear was with him. Believe it. Okay? Check out page 68, you know, with your fellows. All about fear. Oh, it's there. You know, God enables us to match calamity with serenity, not eradicate calamity. And I move with God despite my fear. That's what they're suggesting. With a shiver. He just did it. He just did it with a shiver. I can't say this enough. With a shiver, he turned, he walked. Look at these verbs. Now we're getting, it was all thought. Let's do the verbs. He walked down the lobby to the church directory. Music and gay chatter still floated to him from the bar, but his ass kept walking. Okay. Program of action literally here. Literally. Okay. Now Now note. After he turned, after he walked, now he gets a God-centered thought. Now he gets the recovered thought. The thinking was fucked. He could not think himself out of it until he did the action. He turned, he walked. Here's the next thought. But what about his responsibilities? Verbatim, on the page. That is the next sentence. Now he's being restored after he took the action, not before. With a shiver, he just did it. Now, what about his responsibilities? His family. Now his family comes. You know, he was just thinking about the other stranger nutsos in the bar that might give him some companionship. Okay, now he's like, holy shit, I have a family. Oh my God, I just remembered. And what about the people who would die because they would not know how to get well? Ah, yes, those other alcoholics. There must be many such in this town. This is how his thinking is changing. Immediate, quickly, y'all. After turning, after walking, after action, he would phone a clergyman. He's walking, okay? His sanity returned. And he thanked God. Here, out goes discontent, enter gratitude, right? He thanked God. Top of 155. Selecting a church at random from the directory. I always giggle there. Page 417 says that nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake, but we'll go with you on this one, Bill. Random, cute. Selecting a church at random from the directory. He stepped, interesting word choice. He stepped into the booth and lifted the receiver. Turned, walked, stepped, lifted. I'm going to pause there and just hit you with the footnote at the bottom. This refers to Bill's first connection, which led to his first visit with Dr. Bob. This is our other co-founder, AA pioneer, Dr. Bob. These men later became co-founders of AA. Bill's story opens the text of this book. Dr. Bob's heads the story section. Just a little footnote if you're new to the book. This is how it all started. A dude who was about to drink, okay? He was about to drink, planned on going in the bar, shaky as fuck, totally focused on financial security and recovery, getting all bitter that his business was all jacked up and it didn't work out for him. He was fantasizing about meeting other drunks in the bar, and it just took one moment of an action, of a turn. Okay, this is how we embody a third step decision, embody an 11th step directive, if you will, in the 3D. Bill did this. Okay, this is what this. Yeah, I love my timer now. This is a great time for me to put a bow on this. This is a vision for you. This is a vision for you. Okay, I know there's a lot of. Please, there's so much in this book that, you know, you ask one fellow their interpretation, ask another, you're going to get totally different things, you know, but the floor is mine today, y'all. And, you know, page 164, I've heard a lot of debate on this one, this line, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. I've heard it all cherry picked and twisted up, especially amongst our newly sober people. Do not subscribe, newcomers. Do not subscribe. Okay? I hear this shit all the time. Well, I'm not sober that long. What could I have to transmit? You know, I don't know if I could really be of help to anyone. Like, well, the book says you can't transmit something you haven't got. I'm still waiting to have, you know, XYZ. Who knows what I think I need to have to carry the message to someone else, to hook them up with the 12 steps, to hook them up with this fellowship, to hook them up with this book, to hook them up with a meeting list, to hook them up with numbers, to hook them up with my own experience. We would not be here, y'all, if this newcomer, Bill W., who was about to drink, who was only 6 months sober, did not turn down a hallway and pick up a phone. And he didn't call back. He wasn't searching through his little, you know, book to see, you know, what old timer can help me. I don't know if we'd be here. He asked, who can I help? When we are shaky, we work with another alcoholic instead. That is page 102. They are not talking about working with your sponsor. They are talking about someone who is sick and suffering and is in the hole deeper than you. You know, God will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. He's going to show you how to create it, not your sponsor, not the old timers in your home group, you. You know, and it was such a turnaround for me in my early recovery when I really got this, when I really got it. I'm going to be radical. It's all from the book, y'all. But I'll do it in the Bianca fashion. If anyone's newly sober and you got a big book, you got a meeting list, you got some numbers, you got someone who's walking you through, you have resources. These meetings are not for you anymore. They're not, oh, I didn't get anything out of that meeting. You already got it. Did you get a book? Did you get numbers? Did you get a ton of people offering sponsorship? Did you get someone trying to hook you up with a service position? You got it. You got a miracle in your hands. You have it. You know? So these meetings are no longer for you to get something for you out of. They are here. Essentially, it's a flip on for you. They're here for you to contribute. Okay? They are here for you to carry the message to someone who's newer than you. They are here for you to be of service to others. Because isn't that what I was really after? I can tell you it was. I was always after freedom. I was always after purpose. I was always after power. I was always after connection. And I was always after like a path, a way. And that is what is on offer here. And as soon as you got it, as soon as you got a little bit of it, you give it away. That is the real God dope. Okay. I am so grateful to have had that opportunity today. Like I truly live for this shit. And like literally I live for it. I really believe that is why I got snatched back from the gates of insanity and death, is to give, is to contribute, is to be of service, is to, you know, allow God to use, whatever powers I got, to carry this message. I think I'm gonna leave it there. So thank you all for having me. And I can't wait to hear back from all of you. Thanks.
Thanks,
Danny.
Thanks, Ella. Hi, guys. I'm Danny. I'm an addict. And Bianca, wow, thank you so much. There was so much power in that. You know, I really loved everything what you said. My question for you is, you spoke about that line from the book where Bill picks a number out by random, you know, out of the phone directory. And, you know, when I look at that, it's like this divine inspiration that inspired the spark of Alcoholics Anonymous. So my question for you is there a moment now when you look back at your path into recovery that you can see God sort of placed everything just in perfect order for you to get into recovery and recover? Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Danny. Yeah. I'll hit us with two lines from the book. One I've already mentioned, and I'll bring in some personal experience. Page 417, y'all. Know it, live it. Nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake, right? Everything is just so. All is as it should be. And page 53, You know, you got a choice to make. Either God is everything or God is nothing. You know, there's no real in between. And you know, just to speak to that a bit, you know, we see it in hindsight. I find that I see it more live now. You know, again, maybe it's a bit of human timeline, but I'm more quality over quantity with my recovery. I think the more wholeheartedly you take these steps, integrate them, you see less in hindsight, more live. Sometimes foresight, a little bit of foresight. That's the ideal, right? Oh, we should have seen it before. Nah, you know, like, but the hindsight gets closer, you know, and I see things live all the time. It's easier for me to see it live and other people's experience and the people that I work with. But you know, they modeled that for me. All of you modeled it for me. You know, when I'm, you know, the trials and low spots in my recovery, where, you know, my 3D human self-centered diseased mind, tries to put a value judgment on something, like, this is bad. This is bad. This is really bad. This is a bad thing. And then I have, you know, some of my awakened fellows who will like throw a party for me. And that's extreme, y'all. It's radical. I've done it for others. People have done it for me, you know, throwing parties for like horrific tragedies and deaths, true calamity, forced pauses, in one's life, whether that's like physical, mental, you know, societal, when there's like a forced pause, despite anyone's, you know, desire, where there's kind of no one and nothing, but, the connection with God available for us. I've had tons of these in my life. I wish I could come up with something like this week. I might have to come back to this because it happens all the time. It happens all the time, but it's always something that at first I mean, gut twisted, bitter, feel like this is like the worst thing, all in my self-centered fear. And then, you know, somehow, I don't want to say somehow, cause that's even a weird word to use, you know, but God will use everything. And this is part of our 7-step prayer practice. You know, when we turn it truly all over, it's a bit more specific when you get to step 7, not just, you know, the general bondage of self, but, you know, the bondage of Bianca, all things that I categorize as good, everything I categorize as bad, you know, I give it to God. Would you have all of me, good and bad? Yeah, I think I'll leave it there. Sorry, I don't have a juicy story. There's too many.
Lovely. Thanks, Bianca. And thanks, Danny, for your question. Next up, we've got Andy. Come on in. Thanks, Andy.